Stain Gang podcast time, and it's time to talk about the number two ranked Midwestern State men's soccer team with head coach Michael Meacham. I'm Pete Stein. Thanks for joining us for the Stain Gang podcast. Hope you're telling your friends about the podcast, but more importantly, I hope you're coming out to Stain Park when Midwestern State is at home to watch this team, and you had a chance to do that this past weekend, and Midwestern State put on quite a show. And did you in your wildest imagination believe you would be unbeaten at this point of the season?
Never really thought about it.
Because you're a game at a time guy.
I guess you never let yourself get that far ahead.
Midwestern State 10-0-1 going into this week. 3-0-1 at home with UT Tyler visiting Stang Park for a Lone Star Conference clash on Wednesday. You were here Saturday afternoon playing the second game of a soccer doubleheader behind the women. You took on Oklahoma Christian. Mm-hmm. And we saw this last year from Oklahoma Christian. They're a pretty chippy side. And there was they play with a lot of emotion, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't think they're dirty or cheap or anything like that. I think that they're very...
I did not mean to insinuate they were dirty at all.
They're very kind of forward-thinking. They play with a little bit higher line. They come out and press you a little bit, so it's going to be, I mean, a little bit like us. We play a little bit higher. We play a little bit higher, and it we have the ability to cause more fouls. Just by the way that we set up and the kind of the philosophy and the idea behind the way that we want to play, but it's definitely not anything like negative toward another team or anything. It's just how you line up and how you set up a press or anything like that.
You're getting in a lot of duels with these guys.
Yeah, it'd be like West Virginia in basketball.
Right.
They're gonna press a little bit. Arkansas back in the day for basketball. It's just gonna be a situation where you're staying a little higher and you're gonna press a little bit more and you're gonna cause more fouls.
It's interesting because Midwestern State, they're kind of 90 minutes of hell, aren't they?
We like to make it as difficult as we can. Now that doesn't always mean it's going to happen. I mean, you look at the first 25 minutes of the game against Oklahoma Christian on Saturday. I mean, they were really good. They hit the post. Adam made a good save, hit it off the post. I mean, they had chances. They created opportunities, and you know they made it hard on us.
It certainly was a game where you were certainly challenged, but. Has to feel good to beat those guys twice in an 11-day span.
Correct.
Knowing that they've got you circled on their calendar. They want so badly, and you can see it when they play, to beat Midwestern State.
Yeah, I mean, but if you really watch them play and you watch the way that they kind of approach each game, I mean, they really kind of get up for everybody. It's not like it's just us or it's just somebody else. I mean, they really get up to put their best foot forward and really try to get a victory.
Do you pay much attention to goal differential? You're plus 25. What does that say about your team? What do you read into that, or do you read anything into it?
We've only given up 5 goals. I mean, I think that we like you said, we've been on the ball a lot. We're able to be a little bit higher up the field, so every time somebody builds against us, they're kind of building from a little bit deeper like we're building against them. At sometimes when they get a little bit direct or something on us. Yeah, so I mean, it's a situation where we're causing people problems in certain areas of the field, and Adam's been really big, and Juan and Hexie hadn't get up in a lot, and you know, Anthony and Danny and Connor and James and all those guys that have been in the back four have done a really good job. Every time Toledo's came in and Mateo with Caesar and those guys, they've been able to keep kind of clean sheets to close out games. So I mean, I think it's just something that the boys really take pride in.
By the way, that plus 25 goal differential, that's fourth best in the country. So
it
says a lot about the way you're playing.
Yeah.
Mary Escobar was able to score again on Saturday after not scoring for a couple of games, but he had hit the woodwork in one of the games. He had missed a penalty shot in one game.
Yep.
Certainly wasn't a surprise to see him score another goal, and he's now fourth in the nation with 11 goals.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the competition that he's played against, with the strength of schedule that we've had, for him to be able to do that is very, very good.
By the way, he's third in the nation with 26 points so far this season, so he's having
a remarkable year. I think it's only one game that he didn't have a point. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
he's had a point in all but one game.
I think that's probably a little bit more telling than maybe someone always thinks, oh, he didn't score, but he's only been
getting. Yeah, no, one of the games he didn't score a goal, he had an assist.
Yeah.
So there's only one game where he didn't get a point at all. I also find it interesting that he's taken 45 shots. That's 15 more than anybody else in the conference, which I think speaks to what you alluded to earlier, how much you're on the ball and how much you're in the attacking
third.
Yeah,
I would like to see how like someone like a Liam or someone else kind of stacks up against that. I mean, obviously, I think Liam's gotten some pretty good shot attempts. I'd like to see what he's kind of ranked in the conference. I would imagine that he's done pretty well. I'd imagine us as a whole has done pretty well as a team, not just Mede.
You mentioned Liam. Right now, he's second on the team with 12 points. He's got 4 goals and 4 points through 11 games. He's got 4 goals through 11 games, I should say. He did not have a point in any of the first 3 matches this season, but he's got at least 1 point in each of the last 3 matches, and he's registered a goal and an assist for 3 points 3 times this year.
Yeah.
So he's a lethal weapon as well for
you. No, I mean, we've talked to Liam a little bit individually and just said, you know, with the qualities that you have and the team that we have and what we're asking you of the team, I mean, you're getting opportunities, and now you're going to have to start taking them. And I think he's kind of taken that to heart and kind of rose up to the challenge to really help the group.
Another guy that's quietly got 4 goals this year is Jack Larkin, who's also got a couple of assists for you.
Same thing with Jack. I mean, I told him in the spring last year at the end of the season, I mean, he needs to be a 6-6, 7-7 type guy. Like you've got to be able to have that kind of points from a midfield, a central midfielder. So I mean, we've really kind of challenged those guys to see like this is what you need. This is where you need to be individually for us to be collectively good as a team.
And you're doing really well in the midfield. You're when obviously, as we've alluded to, you're on the ball a lot. That means your midfield's winning a lot of battles in the midfield.
Yeah, still got to do a lot better. Picking up first and second balls. I mean, one day we'll be really, really good at picking up the first ball and we'll be terrible picking up the second. And then the next day we'll be really bad at getting the first and picking up seconds. So, I mean, I think that's a little bit of college soccer.
That's sports in general,
isn't
it?
That's the way the game goes. But, I mean, for us to keep being successful and doing what we need to do and get results that we need to get, I mean, that's being able to play in transition and being able to pick up like first and second balls is something that's really, really big for us.
You know, another guy that's coming on strong for you is Max Gonzalez, and he helped create a goal for you Saturday.
Yeah. He's been really good ever since he came on. I mean, Gakko, I think, got injured in the third game of the season, and third or fourth game, something like that. And Max took the opportunity. He's been flying. I mean, I want to say as soon as Gakko came off the field against Metro, 5 minutes later, not even 5 minutes later, Max got an assist for us to kind of put that game to bed pretty early. So, no, I think Max has been flying for us. I think he's done well. We've been challenging him to do a little bit better in certain areas of the field, and he's done nothing but please us when we've given him that information.
I like the word you use, flying. You're playing at a pretty good pace, aren't you?
Yeah, at certain spells of the game. I mean, it's really, really hard to do what anybody wants to do for 90 straight minutes
right,
without making any changes or whatever, and we've made changes. You got someone like Josh that came off the bench for us yesterday. They got the third goal. We've done
– That was two that. Reserves who set up that goal for you.
It was actually – I got to tell Trey, it was actually Danny that got the assist, not Johan.
Oh, okay.
So everybody's been teasing Danny about it, but no. It's been good. I mean, we've had wide players doing some really, really good things for us.
You've got UT Tyler coming up. They're kind of an interesting team when you look at them. I mean, they've got a pretty good goal differential. It pales in comparison to yours, but they're +9. They're outscoring opponents 19-10. They're unbeaten in their last 9 games. Now there's a handful of draws in there as well.
Yeah.
But I think they're playing at a pretty good level.
Yeah, I think Kenny does a great job. I think Kenny's been there for a long time. He understands what UT Tyler is and what UT Tyler is all about, and he's created a kind of an atmosphere and an animal there that's going to be really, really difficult to play against.
I mean, how would you describe their style of play?
A little bit. I mean, a little bit like ours. They're wanting to play. They want to get the ball into the areas that they feel real strong in, and kind of really get on the attack. I mean, they're a big team. They're super athletic. They're technically really, really good. I would say that they don't like us very much since they've come to the Division II. So they're going to be pretty excited to be here tomorrow night.
Well, and here's another school that has kind of said Midwestern State. It's kind of like this past weekend that Dallas Cowboys said we have to measure ourselves against the San Francisco 49ers. Teams play Midwestern State and they want to measure themselves against Midwestern State.
Yeah, we're happy to
play that role.
To be a part of that challenge and to see what we can do. And we'll show up, they'll show up, and you know, the best team on the day will get the result, and one will lick their wounds and try to get better, and the other one will just be a little bit happier and still try to get better.
Because Midwestern State's been so successful in the conference, you said UT Tyler plays a little bit like we do. Do you think teams try to copy what Midwestern State does?
No, I don't think they do exactly what we do. I mean, they do it their way, and they kind of do, you know, what Kenny asked them to do and how he's always done it. He does it a certain way, which has been enjoyable to watch, doing scouting reports against them and stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't think that's exactly like us, but I don't think – I mean, the game's still a round ball and two goals at the end. So, yeah. I don't think anybody's trying to, you know, reinvent the wheel. So, it is a little bit different, and we're a little different, and just like everybody kind of has their own tweaks to things.
So this is something I found interesting, and I'm sure you're going to roll your eyes when I talk about this.
No,
but
I wouldn't ever do that.
But UT Tyler's had, they've got 16 different players with the point. Midwestern State has 17. Midwestern State's got 11 more goals. So they've got 16 guys with at least a point. So there's not, like, my point is, I don't think you can go into this match and say, hey, this is one guy we have to stop.
No, absolutely not. I think some of their younger guys have really, really picked it up. And then their guys with a little bit more experience and a little bit more leadership that they've done, they've really kind of put those younger guys in really, really good situations. And then they've obviously stepped up when their situation and their kind of number's been called.
So last time I brought this up with the team, you didn't even really seem to be aware of it, but UT Tyler has played three different keepers this year.
Did not even know that. I knew they played two, I think.
Yeah, well, one of them hasn't played much, to be honest with you. So, yeah, there's definitely two that have played the bulk of the minutes for them.
Yeah, I mean, they play a lot of guys. I mean, and they played a lot of guys for a lot of years, so it's not anything different. I mean, I would imagine that they average 22 to 24 guys playing a game.
Do you know what you average just – out of curiosity, I haven't really thought about that.
I'm imagining we are probably playing 16.
That's what I would probably guess in that neighborhood.
16, yeah.
Do you even think about that as,
no,
as an objective? Or in basketball, we would talk about managing minutes. Do you feel like in college soccer you have to manage minutes?
They can manage those at Christmas. Yeah, we're here to win.
So when you make a change, it's tactical.
Sometimes it's tactical. Sometimes it's, you know, it's putting a different guy in that maybe he's not having a great day. Maybe it's a guy that just needs a break. I mean, it could be one of a number of reasons. Yeah.
But in theory, you would be comfortable going through and all 11 guys playing 90 minutes.
I think it's going to be really, really hard for someone to be able to do that in college soccer.
Because
I wouldn't think that we'd. I mean, the game's not the same as it is on TV. I mean, everybody's kind of used to looking at it like, oh, they've made two changes. You know, they played one guy. You know, the game's a little bit, it's built a little bit different professionally. They have different ideas. They have kind of different rhythms and things like that, where in college it's still a little bit more industrial. It's a little bit more like playing the underdog. It's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit more emotional type thing. So, with the substitute patterns that we have, or the substitutes that are implemented in college soccer, or that are allowed in college soccer, you really wouldn't see a team that would only play 11 or 12 guys.
So you would be opposed to changing the college rule? Because I read a column about this earlier this week. It was on one of the websites I was looking at.
Yeah.
Talking about the college substitution rule, and maybe you should adopt, you know, maybe six substitutes a game, play more like what we see on TV. You would be opposed to that?
No, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I mean, I'd like to, I guess, read that article a little bit. I want to know if one player can be subbed. Can one player be subbed multiple times? Is he on and off just like FIFA? you kind of have to look about it that way. I mean, you're still looking at guys that have rosters of, you know, 26 to 35 people, you know. So for players to get opportunities to be able to play and that sort of stuff, I think it's probably it's probably a little far-fetched to ask college soccer to do that. Yeah, but I definitely wouldn't be opposed to learning more about it and doing a little bit of research and doing some thinking about how, you know, how substitutions could better the game for or against, pro or con, or, you know, the number of substitutions you could have a half or something like right. that. I mean, sometimes people sub a lot and it just kills the flow of the game. You know, it's like having a referee that stops a game every 3 minutes to want to talk to somebody about something.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Your job's still to manage the game, and right now you're not really managing the game if you're doing that. And sometimes we all make subs. I do it as well to kind of kill the flow of the game and kill the game off. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely going to be pros and definitely going to be cons to regulating substitutions.
Another time we'll talk about the way time is kept in college soccer, but I don't want to get into that right now because I want to talk about Texas A&M yep. International, because you've got that coming up on Saturday. So this is a pretty tough week for you. I guess they're all tough in the Lone Star Conference.
Yep, all tough.
But going down to Laredo to take on TAMIU, I know that's a team you have a lot of respect for.
Yeah, Claudio does a great job. We've recruited against them in the past. We've played them a number of times. We used to play them twice a year. Obviously, conferences changed a little bit, so we don't have to do that. but yeah, I mean, I think it's a really, really good attacking team, and they're able to cause you a lot of problems if you allow them to.
So they've outscored their opponents this year 31-15, but they've got an 11-0 win against Sol Ross. They've got a 7-3 win over MSU Billings. They also had a 5-2 win over St. Ed's when they played in a non-conference game down in Laredo. So they've got a plus 16 goal differential, but I don't think they've played the schedule you guys have played.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would say that those three games might be a little bit different, but I mean, they played Westminster and Mesa just like we did.
Yeah, they made that same trip, right?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that they've got a good strength of schedule. They've got a good tough one. I mean, obviously that Sol Ross game technically doesn't count on the strength of schedule because it's not a D2 game, but yeah, I mean, that's just kind of one game out of the bunch. I mean, we're gonna play St. Ed's just like they did. We just didn't play Billings like they did. We've played, you know, Metro and those guys.
They're sixth in the nation with more than three goals per game, second among Division II schools with almost 3.5 assists per game. So, and they're averaging 9.5 points per game. So they play a team game.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're a really dangerous attacking, free flowing type team. Haven't watched them too much. Watched them a little bit play UT Tyler because obviously we played both of them this week, but that's the only time I've really seen them, other than the opening weekend.
They had a 7-match unbeaten streak, but that got snapped when they lost to Dallas Baptist on Saturday. So it'll be interesting to see how things unfold this week with UT Tyler and
TAMIU. Yeah, we're excited for another opportunity to keep getting better and keep competing.
So Wednesday night, 5 o'clock start.
5 o'clock.
Against UT Tyler. We hope to see everybody out at Stang Park. Michael Meacham, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for doing the podcast. And
it's my pleasure.
Thanks for putting up with my silly questions.
Nah, they're all fun.
Yeah, that's Michael Meacham. And this is the Stank Gang Podcast. Be sure to tell your friends and be sure to be at Stank Park Wednesday night at 5 o'clock when Midwestern State takes on UT Tyler. I'm Pete Stein. So long.